Welcome to Pagan Paradise Podcast number 197 on May 1st, 2018. Changing the world one ass at a time. If you enjoy and appreciate my work and you want to help me spread the word about pegging, consider becoming a patron so I can spend more time doing podcasts, answering questions, writing articles, and recording videos for people interested in pegging everywhere. Just go to patreon.com/rubyrider or click the Support My Work button on the right-hand side of my website. And don't forget, there is a carefully curated selection of luxury, body-safe, non-toxic toys which can be purchased from the Little Black Dress of Pleasure products, Entice Me. Just go to enticeme.com, #RubyRider, and be sure to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. That's RYDER. You are going to be supporting Pegging Paradise with every purchase you make. And by the way, there are a number of you out there who have found this podcast and who are at that point in time where you are looking to get your first equipment, or perhaps you are at that point in time where you're looking to upgrade your equipment. It's so much faster and so much easier for me to just get on the phone with someone and lead them through it. So if you're interested in that, and you would in turn, for the personal consultation, shall we say, purchase the products from enticeme.com, I would be happy to do that. Just shoot me an email and let me know that's what you want to do, and we'll figure out a time and make it work. Because I have all of this knowledge about all the different equipment. And many times when people write in and say, so what's the best equipment? I say, you know, go listen to podcast number 102 and then get back to me. And I never hear from them again. Well, at least I've given them a whole bunch of information about what's out there. And it's quite possible that they've listened to it and they've gone off and shopped somewhere that's a little bit more budget-minded. But if you have any interest in having a personal equipment consultation, and I don't mean to make it sound all that formal, basically what we would do is just get on the phone, I'd ask you a whole bunch of questions, I'd figure out what you need, and I would direct you to the product that matches what your needs are. So there you have it. Shoot me an email if that's what you would like to do. All right, let's move on. Hey, I have a Patreon update for you guys.
Yes.
Two things to report. One is Renee became my patron for $5 a month. Renee, thank you so much. Your support means a lot to me. Really appreciate your generosity. And also Terry made a one-time donation of $15. Terry, so appreciate that. Thank you very, very much. All right, let's jump into your letters. This is from the forum, and this is from a guy who wrote in before, and I mentioned him on podcast number 191 and 192. It may jog your memory when I talk about that he was first just sort of looking how to make it more pleasurable, and he wasn't really specific, and then he got into the specifics and actually said that he came really quickly, and he was looking for a way for that not to happen. So he checked back in with us. Hi, so I have a little bit of an update after your feedback and recommendations in podcast number 192. I ended up picking up everything you recommended and a little extra. Thanks for the everything. We haven't gotten to try all the new things extensively due to our schedule, but I can tell you the harness fits and seems to fit her well. It's definitely a huge upgrade in quality. The WeVibe Tango is an amazing bullet that has made it into multiple parts of our regular bedroom routine. I like the size and texture of the Fuse Velvet, but we need more practice with it in the Aslan Minx, as the first time with this setup was all about the excitement of trying it out, only to struggle to find positions that worked for us with the new setup, so we definitely need more practice. However, this brings me to our discussion that followed. I have a goal of being able to have a mutual orgasm during pegging with mine being hands-free. So I feel this is a fairly aggressive goal for how new we both are to pegging. I feel like I was rushing us both and putting unnecessary pressure on ourselves. So we have decided to slow it down. I picked up an Aneros Helix to try and help with achieving a hands-free prostate orgasm, and I'm still working on that. We still have a long way to go, but we are both looking forward to the journey so much. Thank you. So, I recommended a lot of things to you, sir, and you did indeed go on a massive shopping trip. Good for you, and good for putting that much worth into your sex life, basically. I'm so glad to hear the harness fit her well and that you're pleased with the quality of it. It's impossible to get anything better than an Aslan Minx harness, I gotta tell you. And yes, I have said for many years now, as long as they've been selling it, that the WeVibe Tango Bullet Vibe is pretty amazing. It really, really is. Now, on to the last part of your message here. That is an aggressive goal. I have said over and over again, it's the journey. It's not the goal, okay? And the journey itself is so pleasurable that discovering things and playing around and doing it different ways and trying different positions and trying different toys and trying things in different orders and all kinds of different things is so much fun. All of that is so much fun that you can absolutely enjoy the journey and not have this very, very goal-oriented destination. I commend you on your dedication and efforts to find out more about the hands-free orgasm, but I would suggest that you don't obsess over it. I would suggest that instead you get really relaxed and tune into the pleasure that your body is experiencing when you do these things, whether it's solo play with the Aneros or when she's pegging you or any of that stuff. And in the beginning with brand new equipment, it is a little wild trying to figure out how to use it and how to figure out the positions that work the best. So the three positions for beginners that I recommend the most are cowboy. And that would be she's laying down with the harness on and you are riding her and you are in complete control of depth and penetration and speed and angle. Your cock is very easily accessible for either one of you to play with. And you have the eye contact and it can be very intimate. So that is one way. And the things that I'm telling you are the ones that don't require a whole lot of skill and or endurance and muscles and things on her part, since fucking someone is indeed a rather athletic event. So that's one, is the cowboy. The other is, so picture this, the guy is laying on his back and his legs are spread and they are bent. So feet flat on the ground, but knees bent and legs separated, okay? She is going to scoot in so that their crotches are touching, because you have to do that to penetrate the ass with the dildo, right? And her legs are going to go underneath and through the bends of his knees. In that position, it is so easy to just keep going and going and going as long as you need her to, in terms of feeling pleasure and wanting her to do this for a long time. In the beginning, it's difficult to do it for a long time. And even the cowboy position can be somewhat hard on the receiver because you got to have good knees, okay? So those positions are usually really good for beginners, those two. And then if you have a tall, sturdy chair, tall backed, armless, sturdy chair, you can do the chairman. And there's pictures of that as well on my podcast. I'll put links to the pictures of these various positions for you to get a visual on them. And that might help a little bit. I don't know how your bodies combine in terms of position, so the rest of it's kind of a crapshoot. Your bodies will match up just like people's bodies match up with regular PIV. Sometimes they match great in certain positions and sometimes they don't. But I am so happy to hear that things are going better and that you are looking forward to the journey. Do enjoy it. And if you have any other things to report, feel free to write in. Thanks for the update. All right, here's another email. Found your website about 4 months ago. Really enjoyed the podcast for women. Had my wife listen to this podcast. Made it seem much easier for her to digest my wants and desires. She giggled at your pegging one ass at a time. Actually, it's changing the world one ass at a time. But anyway, moving on in the letter here. Moving forward, we have now started to put pegging into our sex routine, and we have been having more sex, better sex, and overall better communication. Looking forward to cosplay, but that will be another subject. My main question relates to pegging preparation. I have a hand douche that I use about half an hour before and try to flush myself out, but sometimes feces still come into play, which is a turnoff for my wife. I don't know if you have a podcast that addresses this and other tips and suggestions. Thanks again for your podcast and educating people into exploring more of their sexual needs and desires. So, okay. Well, I'm glad you're having fun. I'm glad that podcast number 112 for the women worked its magic and opened her mind a little bit. And I can totally understand why when things get a little dirty or messy, that it's a turnoff, because it absolutely can be. Which is why I have a whole article talking about how to keep things clean. So I'm going to put a link for that for you. You're already doing part of it, which is the rectal douche. I would do it right before you play, because when you're doing a rectal douche with the bulb thing, it sounds like that's what you have, your hand douche, you are only rinsing out the rectal canal. So the rectal canal is smaller amounts of water, because the difference between a rectal douche that just rinses out the rectal canal and an enema is the quantity of water. Larger quantities of water are going to fill up the rectal canal and go up into the colon, so it doesn't sound like you're getting it up there. If you are putting in, like, maybe two or three bulbs, that could be the problem, because if you're putting in more water than just is enough to fill one bulb, then what you might be doing is pushing water up into the colon, and when that happens, any water that goes up into the colon, you need to do that type of cleaning 2 hours ahead of time, because the water can get caught in the folds of the colon. And like for enemas, I always recommend if people want to do an enema, whether it's because they want to be squeaky clean or it's part of their sexual play is to do an enema, you need to do that enema at least 2 hours ahead of time, because water gets caught in the folds of the colon and you may evacuate that initial letting go of all the water that you put in there. But a little while later, once you get up and walk around, you're going to expel some more water. And it's not unusual for that to be a little bit dirty. So that could be what's happening. Other tips and suggestions are, I'm not sure how you're rinsing out. What I would suggest is to take that hand douche, and if you want to get a really good one, the best one out there that I know of is the ErgoFlow Director. It is 100% silicone, so you can sanitize it. And it is also, it has a wider opening for the bulb, so it's easier to fill it up with water when you're in the shower, because it has a screw thing that attaches the nozzle to the bulb. And the other advantage to that ErgoFlow Director is that it has a valve, a check valve, that helps prevent sucking dirty water back into it. So it's a way cool thing. Plus, that longer nozzle of the silicone is soft and feels okay going inside you. So anyway, back to the shower, you fill it up, you rinse, you fill up the bulb once, you put it in there, and then you expel it. If it's dirty, you fill it up and you expel it again. You keep doing that 3 or 4 times if you need to until it comes out clean, and then you're good to go. The other thing you don't mention is how long the toys are that you are playing with. Sometimes people make the mistake of getting really long toys, or perhaps even during the pegging, kind of thrusting a little bit too deeply with a toy that is sort of borderline too long. So if you've done a little bit of pegging, for the givers out there and for the receivers, you both need to know this, you can do the thing where you're just like right up against them. In other words, you are balls deep if you were a guy, right? So your thighs are against theirs or the back of their legs or whatever position you are in. And that's pretty much as deep a penetration as you could go. And you can also do a thing where you get kind of enthusiastic and sort of thrust in. Those two things are going to give you the deepest penetration. Sometimes in the beginning, it's good to not go all the way in, depending on the toy you have and how it matches up with your body. Everybody's a little different, and some people's rectal canals are a little bit shorter than other people's. So it's possible you have a longer toy, and if she didn't go to the hilt and just fucked you with like the first 3/4 of it, that might keep it cleaner as well. So that's something to try out. And here's a couple more things. One is to have a lot of roughage in your diet, like salads and vegetables and raw vegetables and stuff like that for a couple of days before, and to eat very lightly the day of. And that's pretty much it. Those are all the tricks and tips that I know. So give that a try, see how it works, and maybe one of those will be the magic formula for you to have the clean experience. And if none of those work in terms of just using the rectal douche, you can try an enema. You can just get an enema kit and try that, because even though it's kind of a pain to actually do a full enema if you're not into it, that if it helps for you to be squeaky clean by doing that enema a couple hours ahead of time, it might be worth it. Who knows? So if the rectal douche stuff, all of the information that I gave you, doesn't solve the problem, try an enema and go from there. It can be a little bit of a battle sometimes, but I don't want to call it a battle because that sounds like you're fighting it more. You know what? What I would suggest more is that it's like you have to learn your body and you have to figure out how it works. And after a while, you'll get the swing of it and you'll know, okay, I had this to eat. It's been this long. You know, I'm due the rectal douche and we should be fine if she doesn't go in too far or something like that. You'll figure it out. So with practice, that is part of it. So I hope one of those works for you, and thanks for the question. There's another email. So I have a thought that I would enjoy your thoughts and comments on. I have a friend, female, who has been wanting to get into pegging and is slowly buying her first rig. She recently has had a whole bunch of either old flames or guys who she clearly believes, through either their actions or words, are players and are just out for sex. She and I would like to believe the best in people, but we also tend to believe that they are just out to, well, fuck her and then ghost her until they need to fuck again next time. This cycle has led her to think the worst in guys. The only way for her to test guys is, in a way, to get fucked over by them or reject them and, by extension, label them as players. This obviously is not the best system for her. So I have a possible solution. To eliminate those who are just trying to fuck her over, I propose that she tell the guy she will only sleep with a guy after she gets to peg the guy two or three times. This way, it puts her in the driver's seat, and she can choose a guy who will either try something new or at least see how it makes a woman feel to get fucked over. I'm not sure I understand that sentence. Let me read that one more time. This way, it puts her in the driver's seat. And she can choose a guy who will either try something new or at least see how it makes a woman feel to get fucked over. Also, any guy who is just trying to get her in the sack will most likely get scared off and not even try getting pegged just to get the opportunity to fuck her. Now, there's a small chance that she will lose a few good guys in the process, but I would say that she will scare off more players than good guys. I would also think that if a guy really wanted to be with her, he will allow her to try to prove that he is truly interested in her. I think you meant he will allow her to peg him. Anyway, if the guy likes her and is good giving in game, then he will try something new to get the chance of getting to be with her. If he doesn't like it, then he can just tell her later and the pegging ends, yet the relationship that he earned continues. She really liked this idea in theory, and she wanted to hear your thoughts before she implemented the new hurdle to her dating life. Possible other additional ideas. She only allows them to give her oral sex, parentheses, foreplay and fondling, until she pegs him, then full-on sex. Butt plugs on the first and second slash third date for him and her, maybe, then pegging on the third date, fourth date sex, or something along those lines. You have my permission to read this on the podcast. In fact, if you want to read it on the podcast, you really don't even have to worry about responding via email. We will both hear your answer. I've been enjoying being a Patreon supporter. Hopefully she will become one soon also. She says she will let you know when she pegs for the first time. And then he says, the pictures you post are epic. Best wishes, Ruby. Keep doing what you're doing. TJ. Wow, TJ, this is a lot. You guys have put a lot of thought into this, or you have, and then she heard all of your suggestions. I have some difficulties with some of your assumptions. You seem to be making a pretty hardcore delineation between men who just want to fuck, meaning PIV, and men who will allow pegging. And even the words that you choose with that imply it's something that a man allows a woman to do. And okay, here we have your friend, a woman who is interested in pegging, and she wants to try it out. So this is a woman who wants to peg a guy. That is not the direction this usually goes, and so this is unusual. So here's what I think. I think that rather than segregating the activities, I think that the best thing that you can do is just to insist on a few more dates before any sex happens at all. And on those dates, to talk a lot about what kind of sex you want to have. And at that point in time, she can make it clear that she's interested in pegging and she would like to try it out. Now, I don't know if pegging is a make or break activity for her. Clearly for me it is, and you know, that's one example. For her it may not be. For her maybe it might be just a supplement thing that she's interested in trying, but she would be happy to find a partner who wasn't into pegging at all and who she had good sex with and was a good partner. So all of these things are possibilities, and I can't read her mind, but if there's a guy like that, and basically she's saying, you have to let me fuck you to show me you're a good guy, I don't think that's the way it works. People either have these kinks and they're interested in them, or they don't. People are either open-minded enough to try something new, or they're not. And if it's a hard no, then it's a hard no. And we all know people, ourselves included, sometimes where a hard no turns into a, well, you know what, I think I'll try that out. But that happens over time. And in the beginning, it's, I don't know, the way that Dan Savage would phrase it is she's basically saying the price of admission for you to fuck me is that I get to peg you first. No, I don't like that idea. Mostly I don't like it because it's sort of bargaining with sex acts. And I think that if you just have a few more dates, that the guys who just want to fuck and then leave won't have the patience. They will keep trying to push the issue. They will lose patience with the situation because it's taking too long to get into her pants, so to speak. And they will give up. I have a friend who is my age. And she told me that she met this guy. And they went on a couple of dates. The first one she thought went quite well. And then he didn't call her back. And she was sort of kind of blown away. And then he contacted her again. And they went out again. So they ended up going back to her house. And they were necking on the couch, right? Just heavy makeout session, right? And finally, she pulls back and says, what's it going to take to get you back into my bedroom, right? And he pulls back and looks at her and says, two more dates. Now that is fucking sexy. That is fucking awesome. I would love to see people take a little bit more time and get to know the person they're going to be fucking. And I don't think that that's an unreasonable thing. Yes, I am older. Yes, things may not work that way anymore with this day and age of jumping into bed with someone, maybe because that's the way people do it, and maybe because you're just horny and you want to get some sex. However, if her goal is to find someone for a lasting relationship, in my opinion, those more often start a little more slowly. Between heterosexual couples, and I don't mean to imply that either of your orientations are not bisexual, but if you think about what Dan Savage says again, he talks about the way that gay guys do it is they fuck first and then they decide if they like each other. And I know that some people do that in heterosexual connections as well. But what she's experiencing is the being ghosted. The, you know, they get fucked and then they take off. Or they get fucked and they take off and then they come back when they want to get fucked again. So to have more dates, to be really clear about, I'm not looking for just a friends with benefits. I'm looking for something a little more involved. And so either you are or you aren't. And if you are, then we're going to have four more dates before we have sex. And if you don't have the patience for that, then you're not really looking for what I'm looking for. So something along those lines. And yeah, you can say, okay, For the third date, when we start having sexual contact, we're just going to do like kissing and fondling, because that's another thing too, is a slow and gradual easing in to the sexual acts can be deliciously anticipatory, can be very erotic. Like maybe the first time you have sexual things happening, you neck a bunch and then you lay there next to each other and you do mutual masturbation, right? You both masturbate each other, or I mean yourselves, next to each other. And then maybe the next time you put hands on each other's stuff, like he's fondling her and she gives him a hand job or something like that. Right? And if it's not something that is quite right enough to get you to orgasm, then you take over yourself, you give yourself an orgasm, or you decide you don't want one. Then maybe the next time after that, you touch into oral a little bit. See, you can take this really, really slow. But one more reason that I don't think it's a good idea to do the pegging first is because pegging is a very intimate activity. It typically is something that men enjoy receiving with a partner they know they can trust and have a bit of a history with. Although there are many fantasies of one-night stands that turn into pegging, most of the time that is not a reality. Most of the time there's a lot of trust that needs to be there, because men are allowing you to do things to their body that most of the time they haven't allowed anyone to before, unless you run into a guy who's bisexual or who is already tuned into anal play. But I think that that's the opposite direction. That's kind of varsity sex, if you ask me. So there you have it. Those are my thoughts. And I feel you. I really do. Your friend, the woman who has had difficulty with the players and being ghosted, I totally feel you. I have put a fair amount of effort into a number of guys, and once I fuck them and we have a good time, then I don't ever see them again. It doesn't happen every time, but it's happened enough for me to be quite discouraged and really stop looking for a while. So yeah, I feel you on that one, but good luck. Let us know what you decide and how it works. Okay, here's another one. This was a very short one. Interested in trying this for the first time. Any tips? No pun intended, laugh out loud. Any recommendations on strap-on size? First time? Although have had finger play and do enjoy that. So that's why I'm thinking I'd like this and want to try it. Okay, this is an example of what I get a lot. This is a really, really general letter, and there's so much information for those of you who have listened to the podcast for quite some time and explored my websites that I cannot take the time to write down all that information in an email. So for anybody who's listening to the podcast that finds himself in this kind of situation and can really relate to this letter, there's so much information about beginners that I'm not going to sit there and type it all up. Any tips? Oh, seriously? Yeah, I've got about 150 of them, and they're all in my webinar. It's like you're going along in life, and you have this sex life, and you decide to take an elective. That's what it's like, okay? This Pegging for Beginners webinar is an elective, and this allows you to learn all about it and have enough confidence that you know what you're doing to the point where you can safely and hopefully enjoyably engage in pegging for the first time. That is the whole point of the class. So yeah, not going to answer in an email with a bunch of little tiny tips and shorthand it and really kind of, not shortcut it, but it's like it's not valuing the completeness of it. I'm not going to give you bullet points. Come and take the webinar. That's the answer to that. Okay, here is my next one. This was actually a comment on podcast number 194. Great show. I appreciate that you need to warn listeners before going political, but do it more. Your insights are sage, and I hope will add to the dialogue. More, please, don't be shy. We will listen and learn. And you read a letter from a horny husband who got fisted by his wife. My fantasy, if I could just accommodate it. Now there is a webinar I would watch. One must consider what podcast one listens to at the grocery store. Usually produce does not give me a hard-on, but you made my errand way more entertaining. Keep on keeping on. So I appreciate that comment. That was really sweet to find. And I do have a couple of things to say about that, because along with this message, which was a comment on the posting of my podcast on my blog, there was another one I got on FetLife when I posted about my webinars. And this guy wrote a short message that said something along the lines of, you know, I'm going to say this as respectfully as possible, but if your webinar included something pornographic, I would be much more likely to watch it. So he echoed what this guy who wrote the comment said, you know, about the fisting thing, and that's a webinar that he would watch. You know, if you guys want porn, then go watch porn. I get that you like porn. I get that you like to watch the things that excite you. And please don't combine them with my teaching. Please don't do that. That is exactly the reason that I don't do live demos, that I don't allow a couple to do a live demo when I teach. Is because when I teach, it's information, it's education. It is not a titillating sexual show. When I do my webinar, I do actually show you some pictures of positions and things like that, and there's no getting around that talking about it's kind of sexy and looking at the pictures is sexy. But no, there will be no show of fisting, although I talk about it in my advanced class, which I'm putting together as we speak. And I'm a 60-year-old sex educator, okay? There's not going to be any pornographic things on my webinars, people. Can you tell I'm a little irritated here? It's like, I'd be more likely to watch if it were pornographic. Yeah, whatever. And I know the guy that wrote the comment on podcast 194 didn't say that. It was the guy in FetLife that did. So if you want to watch live sex or fisting, go to Pornhub or X-Hamster or wherever you get your porn. Or if you want it live, go to Chatterbait or hire a cam girl. Okay? I'm a sex educator. Thank you for letting me vent that. I do appreciate it. Thanks for listening. Here's another message that I got. It's a pretty short one. I'm just truly trying to find someone to penetrate me with huge toys and to be fisted. That's probably too much for this site, but it doesn't hurt to try. I love the feeling I get, and I moan a lot. Some of these I read just for your entertainment, I swear to God. That one was something that I didn't allow to be posted up on Pegging 101. So Pegging 101 is the website I have that doesn't include the kink. Now, some people think fisting's kinky, some people don't. I sort of tend to think that's just a bigger insertion, as opposed to the BDSM thing of beating and bondage and what have you, right? So I wouldn't really rule out talking about fisting and large insertions from that particular website, but neither of my websites are places to go to find someone to peg you. They're really, really not. And to move on with that exact same theme, here's another message I got. I'm so interested in pegging. I'm a married man, black man at that, so it's not a huge thing in my community, but I'm so excited to try. Since my wife isn't into it, I've been looking for a female friend that is willing and interested who would train me. I'm in the blah, blah, blah area. So I responded to this man and said, while I appreciate the courage it takes to explore pegging as a man of color, this is not a hookup place to find someone to peg you on the down low. And he wrote back, my apologies, just looking for the pegging community and so very interested in learning more about it, but I have no outlets. I get that. I get that there aren't very many outlets to talk about it. Let me give you some possibilities, okay? One is Reddit. Reddit has communities for pegging. There's three that I can think of. Reddit pegging itself has devolved into kind of just a whole bunch of porn clips being posted. There are two other Reddit pegging groups. One is Pegging Unkinked, which clearly has no BDSM. That is their emphasis. The other is Straight Pegging. The Reddit Straight Pegging group arose from people who were objecting to pictures that included trans people, as well as some of the more hardcore femdom stuff and humiliation and stuff like that. So they have a bunch of rules, and theirs are kind of like, you know, light BDSM is fine, light femdom is fine. They seem to emphasize the straight, although in their description of their group, they don't say anything about it cannot be bisexual interaction. But I think that is their emphasis. You'd have to check that out for yourself. Both of them are perfectly fine communities to talk with people and answer questions, ask questions, that kind of thing. So Reddit groups, REDDIT, that's a huge forum board. You go there, you find the Reddit subgroups, and you start talking to people. Another place is the pegging groups on FetLife.com, okay? Lots of people there. Unfortunately, the biggest groups have also devolved into men posting ads trying to find women who will peg them, okay? Is this like a common theme or what? Here is the one place that I know that you will not run into problems of that sort. And that would be become a patron of mine for $1 a month and join my 24/7 chat channel. That is full of a bunch of people who will not judge you for your kinks or your desires, who will be happy to talk with you about the whole pegging situation. But the very first thing that I would recommend for you, sir, is to ask your wife to listen to podcast number 112. And I'll put that in the linkorama. And when I say that, sir, what I mean is when I post the podcast on my blog, there will be some notes about it. And towards the bottom of those notes, you will find a whole bunch of links linking to everything that I talked about. One of those links is going to say podcast number 112 for the women. What this podcast is me talking to women about pegging. So you said you've talked to her, she's not into it. I would suggest that you listen to podcast number 112 first, and you decide yourself whether it's appropriate or not for your wife, because only you can decide that. And if you think it is, either give her the link and ask her to please listen to it, or listen to it with her. And of course, at the same time that you're asking her to explore this new territory, clean up your side of the road and rock that woman's world sexually so that she is very willing to do what you are looking for. Okay, you get the drift? So there you go. That is my advice for you. Both of those last two were comments that were posted up on my blogs that I'm not going to allow to post, and I figured that I would just address them in the podcast. So, going along with this theme, I have something that somebody posted in my pegging group on FetLife. So I have a pegging group on FetLife. It's called Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise. So a guy put this up, which I really, really like. And it says this. This is the title of it. Find love, not just a body. So I'm going to read it to you. Ruby, because of our off-topic discussion in another thread, I decided to write from my own personal experience in hopes that those men who read this will finally find not just a person to peg them, but a person whom they love, a person who loves them back and also happens to enjoy pegging with them. First, as I know you've said many times, but I'll reiterate it, pegging is sex. Too many men have it in their head that because they're not asking to put their penis inside a woman, that it isn't sex, and they don't get why women don't want to peg them. These are also the same men who are desperately searching for, but have never found someone to share pegging with. Some may think I'm full of shit, but who has more credibility? The guy who's regularly and actively engaged in a pegging lifestyle for over 20 years? Or the guys who are propositioning every female who posts online without success? The truth is, outside of a very few women who have a fetish for being objectified, the vast majority of women are turned off by being seen as just a piece of meat, or a tool to be used for someone else's pleasure. I'm going to answer the age-old question, what do women want? It's simple. Women want to be loved and accepted for who they are, and if you can deliver this, most women will move heaven and earth for you. I've never been in a relationship with a woman who wasn't into pegging, and I've been into pegging for over 20 years. How did I accomplish this? Well, here is the secret. I never looked for a partner to peg me. I looked for a partner. Period. Full stop. Then when it comes time to discuss sexual likes, dislikes, and boundaries, this is when you have to decide if the two or more of you are sexually compatible, and then either stay together or decide to part ways. Sidebar, I'm firmly, pun intended, convinced that one of the leading causes of failed marriages is that people, for one reason or another, enter into the marriage contract without reading the fine print. You wouldn't buy a car without test driving it, a pair of shoes without trying them on, would you? People have been doing freaky shit in bed since the beginning of time. It's only recently that it's becoming normal to be open about it. In the past, when divorce was rare and difficult for legal or religious reasons, people just stayed together, stayed miserable, and fucked around on each other. Now, there really isn't any excuse to be in a sexually incompatible relationship. We live in a world where there really isn't any sexual fetish that's not socially acceptable, barring some extremes like bestiality, pedophilia, rape, etc. Now, a case could be made that one's partner's sexual desires evolve into a realm that is outside the other partner's comfort zone. But I believe that as time goes on, more and more people are going to include the possibility that their partner may want to explore some unknown sexual role or fetish, and this will become just another factor of a couple's sexual compatibility. If you're with someone who's sex positive and you have a very narrow sexual repertoire, you might want to think long and hard before making long-term commitments. For those that began their relationship long ago, when the only kind of sex that was acceptable was the PG-13, safe to talk about in the 50s kind of sex, I really do feel bad for them, because it's a shame how repressed we were in the past. Now, to address a point you've made on your podcast many times as well as this forum, professional sex workers, I personally don't like the idea, but not for the stereotypical reasons. I do not object to the idea of professional sex workers at all. I just see sex in any form to be an intimate act, and I get nothing from sex without an emotional connection. So, I'm not saying it's wrong, I'm saying it's wrong for me. For those out there who just can't or are not looking for an intimate relationship but still seek the pleasure of the pegging experience, I would agree that perhaps the best option is to seek the services of a pro. But I advise caution here. It is easy to go into that as a simple business transaction, but once you start to derive so much pleasure from it, it's not hard to trick yourself into thinking there's more than just business going on. Long post, I'll end it here, Ruby. I love what you do to bring our lifestyle out of the shadows and open people's minds. Keep up the good work. If you would like to share this on your podcast, I don't mind. This is an exceptional piece of writing and speaks so directly to that string of messages that I just read you and a little bit of my ranting about the whole situation. I agree with just about everything you've said except for the very last part. It looks as if you're projecting in that last part when you're saying what might have been a simple business transaction, once you start to drive so much pleasure for it, hard not to trick yourself into thinking there's more than just business going on. You seem to be very, very intimately connected to any sexual act, which you already have said. So I think that that would be what you would do, because you automatically put intimacy with any sexual act that you do. And not everyone is like that, and some people are quite able to hold a boundary really well when going to see a sex worker or just having a friends with benefits of not getting emotionally involved. And the idea of kind of falling for a sex worker, you might kind of get addicted to going to the sex worker and spend a hell of a lot of money. But yes, I think maybe you projected just a little bit there. If I were to advise any level of caution regarding seeking out a pro these days, it would largely have to do with just being careful of contacting someone and making sure that you're being safe and that you are actually talking to a sex worker and not someone who is trying to trap you, because the current administration and its effects on sex positivity have been rather disastrous lately. Like, for example, remember last week and I told you guys about how I had to change over my ticketing platform for my webinars from Eventbrite to this new place called SparkSo. Yeah, well, SparkSo uses the platform for payment called Stripe. And I think I mentioned that because PayPal is really quite bad about the censorship thing. It doesn't want to have anything to do with any adult material at all. So, you know, I probably should have looked at this in the beginning, but I took the time to read the terms of use for Stripe. And here's what I found in their section called Prohibited Businesses. This is exactly what they say. They do actually have a section that's called Adult Content and Services. Here's what it says. Pornography and other obscene materials, including literature, imagery, and other media. Sites offering any sexually related services such as prostitution, escorts, pay-per-view, adult live chat features. So basically what they're saying is that any kind of thing that they consider to be obscene, obscene materials, and you know, I'm on the edge here with what I teach about with my sex education stuff. Teaching about fucking guys with a dildo, strap-on dildo up the ass, is absolutely considered obscene to a whole lot of people. And I don't kid myself that. So there's that. If there's some wiggle room and some vagueness in those terms, I may fall a little outside of that. It's really hard to know. But for now, I am just going to hope that this new ticketing platform does well. The one thing that was kind of cool was I actually got a personal phone call, which I did not pick up on, but she left a message from one of the founders of SparkSo, welcoming me to the platform and touching base. And she had some suggestions. I had already scheduled my first event, and she had some suggestions on how to improve that posting, which were quite good. She put those suggestions in an email, and I implemented them. I wrote her back and thanked her, and I got an automatic reply that she's out of the country. So, if nothing else, the personal touch was freaking rocking. And I did ask her on my reply email, so it's wonderful that you guys are so welcoming for sex educators. But I have to ask, is Stripe like-minded with you guys on this? Could you please talk with me about this? And again, I got the auto reply that she's out of the country, so she's traveling now. Hopefully I'll hear back. But back to what I was originally talking about. That was an example of how the sex positive movement has really been squished lately with a lot of censorship because of the SESTA-FOSTA bill. And it's kind of getting bad out there. I think the people who were against all of these things to begin with, who looked at some of the stuff that I did and thought it was horrible and obscene and should be banned and perhaps maybe even I should be in jail, that they're feeling much more free to speak their mind loudly because the censorship thing is not cool and it's absolutely happening right now. So if you are looking to hire a pro, which is where that whole rant just came from, please be very careful how you do it because there are people laying traps out there trying to catch providers as well as clients. So there you go. Who knows? Maybe they'll throw me in jail for even saying that on my podcast, but fuck it. I am really, really tired of people looking at sex workers as less than, as people who don't have rights, as people that don't deserve to be safe. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to put a link to a podcast. And let's see, the name of the podcast is, well, first let me tell you that it is posted within like a podcasting company called Gimlet Media. And let me read you what it says about that. Gimlet Media is the award-winning narrative podcasting company that aims to help listeners better understand the world and each other. Gimlet was founded in 2014 and is based in Brooklyn, New York. Gimlet podcasts are downloaded over 12 million times per month by listeners from nearly 190 countries worldwide. So the specific one that I'm talking about is a podcast called Reply All, a podcast about the internet that is actually an unfailingly original exploration of modern life and how to survive it. And they publish new episodes on Thursdays at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. The one in particular that I would suggest that you listen to if you want to learn a little bit more about the SESTA-FOSTA thing that I talked about a couple of podcasts ago, This guy does such a great job of looking at the whole thing, and his delivery and the way that this podcast is made is very professional, pretty much like the level of This American Life or something like that. They're really, really well done. And this man's name is PJ Vogt. I believe that's how you pronounce it, V-O-G-T. So yeah, the podcast reply all number 119, PJ Vogt. The name of this particular podcast episode is No More Safe Harbor. And I am going to put a link to that in the Linkorama. This guy does a very interesting and thorough look at the situation. He interviews people, and I highly recommend that you check it out because it gives you a very good idea of why things happened the way that they did, where we are now. And he does that by asking the people who have the viewpoints that he's talking about. So anyway, highly recommended. Give that a listen. It's a really good one. Okay, let's move on from there. Get me talking about politics, see? The guy that made that comment about, hey, bring it with the politics. Well, there you go. Here's my next letter. It's a short one. I know strapless strap-ons are hard to keep in the woman. However, I was wondering if it was used in conjunction with something like the rodeo panties harness, would that keep it in? Kind regards, James. So, James, absolutely that would keep it in. The rodeo harnesses are a good medium-quality panty harness, and that will work, absolutely, to keep a double is what I call them in. They're not strapless strap-ons, but it will help keep a double in, definitely. And I am going to put in the Linkorama the truth about strapless strap-ons for you to get an idea as why those don't stay in very well. And just so you kind of know what you're dealing with. And yeah, the rodeo harness should work fine. Jacques harness would be better. Aslan leather harness would be the best. But I'm not going to put all those links in there. You were talking the rodeo, and it's a comfortable medium quality harness. Absolutely. And those double dildos are awesome. You may or may not have one yet. This I am going to put in the Linkorama. I highly recommend the very best one out there, the Fuse Tango. And in conjunction with that, the WeVibe Tango Bullet Vibe, so that your partner can not just get G-spot stimulation, but clitoral stimulation as well. Okay, so this last thing I'm going to read you is really interesting. This came to me through somebody I'm connected with on Facebook, and he sent me the link to this blog post from a woman whose name is Victoria Bliss, and her blog is on Victoria Bliss, and Bliss has an E on the end, victoriabliss.co.uk. So this is her blog. She's a writer, and this is how she describes herself on her blog. Victoria Bliss is a mother, wife, Christian, Manchester United fan, and award-winning erotica author, and all-around cheeky wench. It's a lovely description. Now, the reason that this particular posting was referred to me was because she describes the very first time she did pegging with her husband. And I'm only going to read you part of it. It's a rather long blog post, and it's well written, but the first part of it has a lot of references to the local scene there of BDSM, because this is a woman who is absolutely into BDSM as well as other things. So that first part of it wouldn't make a lot of sense to read, but basically what she does is she is talking about going to a public event where she, as the submissive, is beaten and tied up on a St. Andrew's cross, and she is absolutely a masochist, and she loves it. In fact, the name of the blog post, interestingly enough, is called Masochist Mistress, okay? And I'm going to start off reading after the event was happening, and you'll see. I was a little disappointed when the beating stopped. I always am. But after head strokes and hugs, I felt content. Masochist me was sated, at least for a while. It was a few hours later, in a dingy hotel room with twin beds. Hubby had ordered a double but lacked the energy to complain. After food had been consumed and feet had been rested, that mistress came out to play. Hubby has had a desire to be pegged for quite some time. It has been played out in fantasies and dirty talk since we first met, with a little play to accompany all the sexy words. We even got a fabulous orange peg from Godemeisch a couple of years ago, and a pretty harness to put it in. Life got in the way, though, and we never got round to using it, even though we wanted to. On Sunday night, my husband's fantasy came true. It started slow with lots and lots of lube. System J.O., water-based, fabulous stuff. As all good anal stories should start. Then a finger, just one, gently applied until he moaned and gasped and pushed back for more. Once it was obvious he was ready for more, I used the peg. Long, thin, with a large flared base. It's not much thicker than one of my fingers, but it is much longer. I didn't use it in the harness at first, aware that this was his first time and my first time. I wanted it to be special, so I was cautious. I didn't want to rush. It was a thrill to see the peg pushing inside him. I loved feeling the resistance fall away as I fucked it to and fro and adored the whimpers from my sexy hubby as he wiggled joyfully on the bed, his butt beckoning me to fuck it. I couldn't wait a moment longer. Now sliding the red satin harness up my legs, my peg-like cock attached, was pretty damn sexy as it was. However, my bum was red, hot, and hard. And sliding the harness up that tender flesh was ecstatic. I loved that when the harness was in place, the straps dug in to cup my bottom where it was most painful. I held hubby's hips as I fucked him hard, kissed his back as I fucked him slow. I was consumed by the need to pleasure him, to give him everything he dreamed of, serving him even as I topped him. There was a wonderful juxtaposition between the power and control of fucking my husband, sliding in deep enough to bang my body off his, and the stinging bruises, a reminder of me submissively taking earlier beatings. It was hot as fuck. He called me mistress. I didn't ask him to, but he did. He begged me to fuck him. I called him my butt slut. And when we moved position, there was a wet spot on the duvet. I was so proud of that. I rode his face then, so incredibly turned on. Mistress me took my hard, intense orgasm from his lips, the throbbing pain of marks encouraging me to move more frantically against his face. I am a merciful mistress, so when I could once again see straight, I took hubby's erection in hand. I talked dirty as I stroked his cock, the control of him and his pleasure surging through my veins, mixing with the intoxicating ecstasy of agony as I sat, rocking against my marks, until he came and we collapsed, exhaustion taking over. It shouldn't work. Marks of submission pushing me on to greater heights of domination. But it did work. It worked very well. I couldn't be mistress for just anyone. In fact, I honestly don't know if I could be mistress for anyone other than my husband. Feeling his joy, his ecstasy, and knowing it was all in my control was heady. Fulfilling his long-held fantasy pleased me deep down to my soul. Masochist, mistress. A paradox, maybe, but definitely me. Wow. Okay, so you see why I read that to you? Oh my gosh. For the people out there who have a bit of a BDSM dynamic going on in their relationship, I get asked so often about how to manage that dynamic with pegging. And I thought this was one way to do it. It's like a perfect example. And she writes so well and so vividly. I can see why this woman has won awards. That I wanted to read you this part of what she wrote because it was this wonderful description of sort of flipping the power exchange. And how, despite the flipping, on the same night no less, she had so much fun operating in that gray space and pushing over into the mistress space. It's hard for me to express it quite well, but that's kind of what I mean. So I wanted to read you that as an example of what this one person did, who clearly identifies as a submissive masochist. So there you go. I have invited her to do an interview on the show, and I haven't heard back yet. And I will include the link to her blog in the Linkorama. And I'm going to close with that because that was fucking hot, right? So I'll do like, you know, the words that I say before I leave, and you can go off and have a good time with yourself. And perhaps I can. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging101.com has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, which you can find a sampling of under the tab Follow on my website for both Androids and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some sexy new toys from enticeme.com, use that coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. And please, send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too dull, too diligent, and too direct. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening. All of you, you rock. Happy pegging.